I'm going to get back into the lampstand today. Once it's activated, it's going to change the dynamics of our lives personally. It's going to change the dynamics of the body of Christ. It's going to shift us into an accountability that is not presently there. God's going to show, say show. He's not going to just dump things out of heaven without showing us. Now, God will come suddenly. But listen, when God came suddenly in the early church, they knew, they were waiting, they were in expectation. The Lord already prepared them for what was coming. He told them what was coming. They were in expectation for it. You may not know what it all looked like when it shows up, because when the suddenly of heaven shows up, it'll define itself, but you know it's coming, amen? Because it's defined, God's going to show us things to come, and there's some remarkable things to come, and I want to encourage you, do not get caught up in the unrest. 2 years ago, when I was in prayer, the Lord began to deal with me. He said, there's going to become unrest in cities. There's going to be violence in cities. It's going to be in the inner cities and violence and unrest. And we're seeing this begin to spring up in different cities. Just recently, Baltimore, Maryland. But you also see a lot of good elements there. You see the church coming out there on the streets. But you see the other elements too. And that's the way it's going to be. But God's going to use His people. But one thing I want you to encourage you about is when you see things shake, the world's going to keep shaking. Politicians are not going to have an answer for what's coming. But God's going to have an answer. But the key is you can't get up involved in what you see and what you hear. You need to look at things from God's perspective and stay in the perspective of God. Stay in the atmosphere of God. You want to be caught up in the wrong atmosphere. You want to be looking at the wrong things. Yes, there's judgment coming. Yes, there's all kinds of things coming, shaking everything. But there's also the greatest move of God in human history. And you got to focus into that. You got to stay into that. You got to plant yourself into that. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm so thankful God has shown us what is to come. I mean, we are anticipating the goodness of God. There might be shaking in cities, but I'm anticipating His move. I'm anticipating revival. I am anticipating His government to come in fullness into the earth. And that's the anticipation in our heart. We're not caught up in the other. We're caught up in God. We're going to be the solution. Amen. Hallelujah. Zechariah chapter 4. We're going to back in this lampstand. So Zechariah 4, he waked me as a man waking out of sleep. He said, what seest thou? He said, I looked and behold a candlestick of gold and a bowl upon the top of it. This was a different candlestick than what was in the tabernacle. And his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the lamps, which are upon the top, and two olive trees by it. One upon the right side, other upon the left. And I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, what are these? What is this? What am I looking at? Whatever he was looking at, he was about to get the answer for. And the answer is embedded into very deep layered mysteries. This lampstand has multiple operations and multiple layers of mystery. Hallelujah. There's probably a lot more to come concerning its revelation because it's an unfolding mystery. Amen. But the Lord gave it to me in revelation form, but I had no idea what it was. And as time advanced, more and more would give it, and then it exploded at the turn of this year. And so did the warfare. You don't have to amen. I know it's there. When you carry heavenly things, it's different. There is a major difference between being a part of heavenly things and being a part of earthly things. You can be in church that's earthly, or you can be a church that's carrying heavenly things. And I'm telling you, there's warfare associated with heavenly things. You can just show up. That's good news, isn't it? But there's glory too. In this house, He's training us to carry the glory, not to be just participants, not to just look upon it, but to carry it. Amen. We're being carried. We're being trained as a corporate body to carry the next move of God. So you need to keep that perspective in the midst of the warfare to understand you got to keep. I know the enemy, how skilled he is. You can preach something and he'll be taking it out of your heart within 3 months. And I'm going to shove it right back in there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In the midst of the warfare, it's hard to keep things unless you write them down. It's hard because you get a bit disoriented in your warfare. The warfare begins to consume the heart, the mind, the soul. Busyness of life consumes the heart, mind, soul, and you forget about the foundation. And when you forget about the foundation, a lot of times you're walking in glory that was given to you 3 months ago. God gave you some glory 3 months ago and you're walking, but you don't know sometime. It feels, everything feels good. Everything looks good. But what happens, you've detached. You've stopped pressing, stopped praying, stopped abiding, but everything's good. You're walking now and your glory tank's going like that. It's going down, down, down. You don't know it because it's like the gas tank until the day there's no more gas. And say, what happened? And when you go try to fill that gas tank up, you don't get all the way full like you were. It took you a little while to get full. So when you get mature in the things of God, you learn to keep what God gives. You learn, I can lose this like that. God will teach you that. How many of God teaches you kind of things like that? When he gives you something, you have to learn to keep it. It's not just about receiving it, it's the keeping of it. It's the keeping yourself in a position to constantly be fueled and full, because you know as you get too low, the enemy's just waiting for your tank to run out of oil, for your bowl to run out of oil, and then he hits you and you have nothing to defend yourself. How many have ever been that way before? Got a little careless with the things of God, and the enemy came upon you and pretty much handed it to you. When you learn the things, you understand, and then that's when you cry out to God, why, God? Everything was just great. You learn that the life that we walk in is a disciplined lifestyle. It's disciplined things in the kingdom of God to carry the glory of God, to walk in a mature, and to walk in the high places of God. You'll have to have wisdom. You'll have to have discipline. You have to have a heart that wants it. But you're going to get the prize. It's not just about suffering all the time. It's not just about discipline all the time. There's a prize waiting for us. There's a table God's going to set for humanity. He's going to let us serve from that table. And that table in this last hour is going to answer all of humanity's needs. There's a brand new table being set in the heavens right now. That move is coming down, and God's going to announce that move of God to the world. Hallelujah. He said, what is this I'm looking at? He said, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel. Now, remember the two olive trees? You had Zerubbabel, he was the king, and you had Joshua, the high priest. He was a prophetic priest. So you had a king, priest. Those were the two olive trees. When you hear us talk about king, priest, government, this is what this is talking about. We shall reign as what? Kings and priests. Verse 6, and he answered, said, this is the word of the Lord of Zerubbabel, saying, however, it's not by might, not by power. This is going to be done by my spirit. This, what you're looking at, man cannot accomplish. There's a lot of things man can do with a little bit of anointing. Man can't do this at all. It's going to be all of him. Amen. That's why the reduction of self is so important to God. We have to be reduced in certain areas. He's not reducing your sonship or your inheritance. He's reducing the flesh. He's burying it. Anybody been through anything like that? Well, I heard a lot of amens on that. I know you have. It's part of God's process. It's getting us prepared. Say prepared. Verse 7. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become leveled ground, and he shall bring forth the headstone, say the headstone, thereof shouting, grace, grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, say, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. Now, actually, he didn't lay that foundation. He relaid it, because its foundation was already laid. He come back, was building upon the temple foundation that was already there of Solomon's house. They had completely removed the house. Nebuchadnezzar burned it to the ground, but they relaid the foundation. So he relaid the foundation. But notice the verse before, he said he would bring forth the headstone. I've been studying a lot about this headstone. I believe these are two very different stones, but the same person laying them. Just like Zerubbabel was a type of Christ. He laid the foundation. What was the foundation? Salvation. No other name. Will you approach the Father? but by Christ himself. He is the way, the truth, and the life. That is what the early church preached. They preached him as the resurrection. They preached him as the only way to God. Everybody had to come through that because they were preaching the foundation message of Christ, Christ crucified. That was the foundation, and that where the house was being built. Their call was to build the foundation. However, there were certain apostles of their day. They went way past that, like Paul. Started looking into something else. Started writing into something else. Started looking into the future. God will always, you get close enough to him, you'll start seeing the future. Then you have to carry the future. When you see it, then you have to carry it. Sometimes carrying the future is not an easy thing to do. People, you're always living in the future. Why don't you live in the now? That's not what God told Abraham. He said, get yourself up, look at the stars, look at the sand, that's your future. That's what I give you to look at. Don't look at the now. Because if you look at the now is going to corral you. The now will corral you in circumstance and situations of your life. When you get corralled, you'll be so concerned about the now, present day stuff, you'll never birth. Because faith is birth out of what you see in the future, not what you see now. Does any of your circumstance line up with what God has said to you? So where are you going to get evidence? What God has said, you're going to get it from his word and what he has spoken about your future. You must value your future. You got to value what God says. Value the destiny of God. When God prophesies to you, when he gives you a word, when he opens his word, when he wakes you up in the morning and puts you on a mountaintop. When he gives you a prophetic vision and sticks you on the mountain and lets you see very far, you got to keep that. You got to treasure that. If you don't, the enemy will come and steal that. And he'll corral you into now, living for today. That's not how faith bursts. You can do certain things living for the day. You can get along in life living for the day, but you'll forget about who you are. It's very easy to move outside. You forget about, and you get about, well, he'll just do it when he gets ready to do it. It doesn't work like that. You're a part of his equation. You're a part of it, except he is going to do it when he gets ready to do it, but he's going to use you. Everyone say he's going to use me. Amen. So he said Zerubbabel was going to bring forth the headstone. The headstone was the final stone to be laid into the temple. Say we are all living stones. The foundation stone was the first stone. The headstone. So whatever he was looking at, this vision was going to go all the way down to the very final day, to the very final person that was going to get laid in, and then he was going to set the capstone in, and the house is completed. The family of God has been completed. No more additions, no more subtractions. That is going to happen in our generation. Our generation's the one going to see the final headstone laid. It's going to go all the way down to the end day of the 7-year tribulation. That final day. And everybody's going to enter into God's house is going to enter into God's house. Amen. He's going to begin that. Light, he's going to light it up. Say, light it up. Go over now, if you would, to Revelation chapter 4. So John, one of the apostles of the early church, called to build the foundation, gets caught up into heaven. He starts looking at things to come. So he gets caught up and he sees things to come. Isn't that amazing? We've had this book in our laps all of our Christian life, and John saw it. And I'm hearing people preach, and they're not preaching this, but God's preaching it. Amen? And he says this. Watch this in chapter 4. He goes, after this look, a door was opened unto me in heaven. This is a heavenly vision. Listen to me. We are part of a heavenly vision. Understand that when you're in the midst of your warfare. Understand that when the enemy tries to bring disorientation to your life. We are part of a heavenly vision. Paul said, I am not disobedient to the heavenly vision. He was an apostle that carried the heavenly vision. You're called into a heavenly vision. That's what we're called into. We're on this side of it, but soon we're going to be on that side of it. And that's going to be the fun side. The heavenly vision. He got caught up. Opened heaven. The first voice which I heard was a voice of a trumpet. God talks in the still small voice, but he talks in the trumpet. When you're up in heaven, you're going to hear God. You're going to see him like that, with power. He said, the trumpet talked to me. He said, come up hither. I'm going to show you things to come. Some of the greatest generals, some of the greatest men and women throughout the Bible always were caught up to see things to come. It's part of God's blessing. When you're walking with God, he'll show you things to come. You'll know. You'll inherit. No, you'll carry it. Everybody will be rejoicing in your mourning. And when everybody's mourning, you're rejoicing. Because they're mourning because they're looking at the circumstance. And you're rejoicing because you're seeing what God's about to do. God has an answer. Notice what he sees. John never spoke about the Holy Spirit in the book of Revelation as the Holy Spirit. Never referenced him as the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. He referenced him as the seven spirits of God. That's very important to understand that. That's a terminology people get a little bit, they don't understand a lot about that, but the Holy Spirit's name is the seven spirits of God. He's not seven spirits, he's one spirit, but seven is the perfection of God. So whenever time you see seven, the lampstand with seven candles, or seven horns, we're looking at in a minute, seven eyes, seven spirits of God, seven pillars of wisdom, seven inheritances, 7 days of rest. It's all a part of the perfection of God. It's God's perfection. So this lampstand, God has reserved for the last days as his perfection. It's going to be a perfect display of God's splendor, light, glory, grace, power. John sees it in the heaven. He caught up and he sees it. Notice what he says. And out of throne proceeded lightnings and thunders and voices. And there were seven lamps. Say seven. A fire. Now this is amazing. Zechariah 4 said he bring forth the headstone. We are in headstone territory right now. Headstone timing. John looked at that. We're in that place now. I want to keep this in front of you because we are so in the time right now that this is going to get activated. Hallelujah. He saw it. We're going to walk in it. Glory to God. He said, out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunders, and there were seven lamps, seven torches burning. He was looking at Zechariah 4 lampstand. And he said, which are these seven torches are the seven spirits of God. So this is an operation of the Holy Spirit. He saw him in the right hand of God as seven torches burning. He said, this is the seven spirits of God. He's going to say it again in the next chapter. One verse summarizes the entire king priest government. 250 messages we've taught on it, but one verse summarizes it completely. It summarizes the move of God that's coming to the earth. Summarized in one verse. Go to chapter 5. So John, he sees a book, verse 1, begins to weep. He said, who's going to open this book? They were wanting this book open. They saw this book, and John began to weep. He said, there's a light, there was a book in heaven. No man was worthy to open the book. They all wanted it open. John began to weep. He wanted it open. You know, that book was full of judgment. It was full of seals of judgment. But there was something in there they wanted to get started. John saw it and he wept. He said, open the book. The elders were in intercession, wanting the book to be open. Get it going. Let's start it. It was the final release. They saw something in that book. There was more than just judgment. There was something else there. And the elder said, do not weep, John. The lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed to open the book. So notice how he describes him. He describes him as a lion. That's his kingly authority.
All the kings came out of Judah. Hallelujah. The elder said to me, weep not. Behold, verse 5, the Lion of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed. He's going to open the book. It takes the king to open this book. It's a king's book. The king's going to open this one. The last day church is going to be an expression of the King of Kings. We're going to preach the King as much as you preach him as Savior. He's going to be preached and demonstrated as the King. What does that mean? He's King over the earth. His people are going to execute dominion, financial dominion in the earth like no other time. The same way the Lord did. When the anointing of God came upon him when he went into Capernaum, he multiplied fish before their eyes. He multiplied bread before their eyes. When they took him out into the deep, he called the fish from the sea and everything obeyed him. He had an anointing that called the resources of the earth to immediately obey him. Wherever he went, immediately the resources. If it was a cult, tell him to loose him, let him go. They will not give you any flack. When it comes to them having the place for the upper room, go find the man with a pitcher, water in his hand. Go there. Go fish. First fish that comes, the piece of gold in his mouth. That's for you. That's for your taxes. He had dominion over the earth's resources. That was part of his kingly authority and manifestation. Multiplying bread. Multiplying fish. That's what he did. He received offerings too. But he operated in that kind of dominion. That was part of his kingly dominion. That's going to be manifested through God's people. That part of his anointing is going to be manifested like no other time that's coming. That's why he said the Lion of Judah is going to open this book. Because there's something in this book. Everyone say, there's something in this book. Don't forget it. It's a commissioned event. It's going to require the Lord himself. All we can do is sit, rest, and keep ourselves in a place of rest and faith. Because it's not by might, not by power. We're waiting for him to open that book. You want him to open this book. There's going to be a lot of things come and activated. You know the book of Revelation. This is a book we know it's about our generation. We know it's still out there, though. You know what I mean? It's a book about our generation, but, you know, we know it probably come to pass in our generation. But there's no real criticalness about it. We still go on with our lives. When he opens that book, everything changes. Do you understand that? He sets in motion the end days right there. As soon as this book gets open and those seals begin, that whole book comes into immediate accountability. The body of Christ comes into accountability to that book. No more planning your life for 50 years. You don't have 50 years when he opens that book. No more planning your kid's future for 50 years. You won't have that kind of time anymore. The book has been opened. Everything's been defined. Everything begins. And when it begins your life, that's the time. The people of God are going to wake up because they're going to give him one chance to walk with God. They're going to either be out there daydreaming or they are going to be connected with the Most High God. And if they're not connected, that movement will pass them right by. There'll be a time that you'll have to dig in with everything you got because you know the days are now limited. Every day is accounted for as soon as that book. You think God's going to open a book like that out of heaven and not announce it to the earth? When God opens something like that, he's going to announce it in the earth. He's going to announce it with a bang, with power, with glory. He's going to announce everything that's up in that book. He's going to raise up end time prophets and apostles. He's going to commission them to announce that book is open. How do you know? We've heard them all. See, if you cannot believe what we say, we got another one here that's going to prove to you the book's been open. Because the Holy Ghost, the seven spirits of God are going to rest upon his end time apostles, rest upon his end time apostles and prophets. And when he rests upon them, he's going to demonstrate before them with a power that's not presently operating. That's called apostolic power. It's given for testimony's sake. To let the world know you don't have 50 more years. You are in the end time whether you like it or not. This is coming to pass. There's another king coming too. You better know this one. Because the next king that's coming, he's not going to be very nice. He's going to require you loyalty to his system. Take his mark or die. You better know who you serve. Verse 6, I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and the four beasts. First he sees him as the lion. Now, this is very powerful. In the midst of the elders stood a lamb. This verse right here, Revelation 5, verse 6, is a summary of the entire king priest government, the entire movement that's coming. One verse summary. Now, let's read this. I beheld, lo, in the midst of the throne, the four beasts, in the midst of the elders. Now he sees him as a lamb, stood up as a lamb. First he said the lion. Now he's the lamb. See, in the New Testament, in the early church, he was the lamb that was sacrificed because that was the foundation. He was the priest. But in the last days, he's the lion. But he's the lion and the lamb because he's both the foundation stone and the final capstone. He said, so, in the midst of the throne, the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, had been slain. Look at this. Now, this is terminology you got to get a little bit used to. He said, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are what? The seven spirits of God. But notice what else he says. That are sent forth into all the earth. Whatever he was looking at, resting upon the lamb, was about to be sent forth into all the earth. And John was seeing it as something that was to come. Our generation. He's looking at the, he said, now what was, he said, whatever it was the seven spirits of God. It was the same seven spirits of God in the previous chapter. The lampstand, he sees him as the lampstand. Now he's seeing the components of the lampstand. The operations of the lampstand. What is that? Seven horns, seven eyes. It's not seven horns growing out of his head. It's not seven eyes. You have to understand the terminology. It's the perfection of God. When he says seven, just say perfection. It's the very best. It's the highest order. There's no greater order than seven. Seven is God's perfection. He sees seven horns resting upon the lamb. He sees seven eyes resting upon him. Those eyes were upon the lampstand. Zerubbabel built with him in Zechariah 4. He said, the foundation of the Lord, he rejoices to see the foundation be laid. And he's building with those seven, which are the seven eyes of the Lord. The seven horns. When you see the word horn, what does it represent? Kings. It represents authority, dominion. Especially in marketplace or in world systems. Like the Lord, when he went in to Capernaum, he began to multiply. He did things and he multiplied things to the level they'd never seen before. That anointing caused the earthly systems to bow down. That's part of the seven horns. His dominion, his authority, his government, in the financial arena especially, governmental arenas, it takes dominion authority automatically. It's already there. When that anointing comes, things are going to bow down. You can even suffer. That's why he said, who art thou, great mountain? Before this lampstand, you're going to be level ground. When this comes, you've been trying to fight these mountains all your life. Listen, when this shows up, it's all going level down. Because you're not going to be doing the leveling. He's going to do the leveling. You're getting prepared for him to come level. All the mountains that are surrounding the things that we see, surrounding the body of Christ, when this anointing comes out of heaven, when the seven spirits of God comes out of heaven again, when the seven horns of authority, the fullness and the perfection of God's kingly government, when it comes out, that dominion is going to immediately begin to level mountains, stuff you've been dealing with for 50 years, generational mountains leveled down. You're going to see cities spring up with prosperity while other cities are in destruction. You're going to see glory springing up, breaking out atmospherically. Mass revivals by those that are rejecting the move of God. We're moving in destruction. God will make a clear difference, but he's bringing a testimony to the world. He's getting the world ready. It's going to be sent forth into all the earth. It's not a little bit of movement for a city or a little church. This thing is going to break forth into all the earth. And the seven eyes, that's God's, that's the seven spirits of God. It's God, the eyes of the priesthood, the eyes of the prophetic priesthood. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon me. That's glory. Spirit of wisdom, understanding, spirit of counsel, might, spirit of knowledge, and the fear of the Lord. All that's in the seven eyes and the seven horns. The perfection. No other mantle like this has ever been released. Because John saw it as in heaven. It wasn't on the early church like that. God had reserved a whole nother movement. You think the Holy Ghost being poured out was awesome? The early church? Joel said, he says the early rain moderately. Then he's going to give the early and the latter rain together. What does that mean? He gives the early rain moderately. Then he's going to give the early and the latter rain together. God speaks of things in latter rain. We know, listen, the early church, that was the early rain. Say, we're the latter rain. He called that, Joel called that a moderate move of God. It was a move of moderation. The book of Acts was a move of moderation. You ever hear people go, God's going to come and do greater things than the book of Acts? I'm like, I just like to get to the book of Acts. We're trying to get there. But God is not restoring us to a former glory. He's got something new. He says he's going to give the early rain moderately, but then he's going to give you everything that was in the early rain. He's going to attach the latter rain. He's going to give all that to you in the latter rain. The early and the latter rain are coming together. Everything we had in the early church is going to be present. But he's got something else in the latter rain. Something very specific on his mind. And is sitting up in heaven and is burning. Seven torches are burning right now. And God is going to release this thing. He's going to get the show on the road. The elder saw this. He opened the book. He's going to open the book. He's got the seven horns. That was the Holy Ghost resting upon Christ. He's got the seven horns on him. He's got the seven eyes of him. He's got the king priest government on him. It is about the release in the earth. The elders begin to get real happy. They start collecting prayers from the saints in the earth that knew what God was doing. That would be you. You can't be praying along things if you don't know what God's doing. Lord spoke to me one time. He goes, it's one thing to sit with me. It's another thing to sit with me in what I'm doing. You can sit with me in fellowship, but I want you to sit with me where I am and what I'm doing next. Be a part of the intercessory core that's synced up, connected up, knows what the Father's doing. Do not lose hold of this word. Don't let the lampstand fade away, because God's going to bring it in the earth. And we're going to be ready to carry the glory with it. The elders begin to decree that the kings and priests are going to reign in the earth. The kings and priests are going to reign in the earth. They saw the king priest government sitting upon the Lamb. The Lion of Judah was going to open it all up. They saw the movement. They were collecting the prayers. They said the kings and priests are going to reign in the earth. Say it. The kings and the priests are going to reign in the earth. That was verse 10. They're going to reign in the earth. We're not going to reign. There's a lot of people says, well, the church is going to grow so mighty, they're going to take over the world. All the seven mountains are going to be taken over. And we're going to grow into this infinite glory to God. That's not going to happen. The church is going to reign in the earth. We're going to give a season to reign. And then the 7-year tribulation is going to begin. But we're going to have a season of power and authority and dominion, both in the realm of church and the realm of the marketplace, in communities. There's nothing that's not going to be affected. Everything. This is an anointing. Don't even think with the present anointing you have or I have, this is to get done. Nobody has this anointing yet because it hadn't been released. How would you know God would have announced it? He'll announce it with great power because those seven horns and those seven eyes are going to rest upon his people. The perfection of the seven spirits of God, the perfection of the Holy Spirit is coming out of heaven with a brand new glory. The brand new dominion, a brand new might. It's going to have everything the early church had in it, but he's got something else for us too. He's going to release it in the next chapter. Go to chapter 6. Don't let it slip. This is what God has assigned for our body to carry this lampstand. You carry it to its time of its manifestation. The world may not know what you're carrying. It doesn't matter.
God knows what you're carrying. No one person's carrying this. We, say we, corporate bodies carrying it for the day of manifestation at hand. We're looking for this book to get open. We want it to be open. Don't get caught up in all the judgment. There's four horses coming. A white horse, a red horse, a black horse, and a pale horse. I know the three. It says in verse 8 in chapter 3, the three of them, the red, the black, and the pale horse, in verse 8 of chapter 6 says they're going to destroy 25% of the earth. But the first horse was not mentioned. The white horse says he's going forth to conquer. Conquering to conquer, he has a battle bow in his hand. So the seals get released, and out of this first seal comes this white horse. He's going forth conquering, say conquering, to conquer with a battle bow. Conquering, don't you think that maybe chapter 5 was the whole chapter was about intercession? John's intercession, the elders' intercession, your intercession from the earth being collected in bowls. They begin to decree the kings and priests are going to reign the earth, and all of a sudden it all stops and God's just going to start the tribulation period. No! That white horse is what they were intercession for. They saw it. Said, God, release that white horse. Let him go. He's got a battle bow. Well, praise the Lord, all of Zechariah's prophecies were for the last days. Not just chapter 4, but chapter 10 too. He had the latter day prophecy. Say latter day. He picks up this horse. And there's some things about this horse I really like. And you should like too. He talks about a horse. Zechariah chapter 10. Listen to me. When he opens that seal, that's not the beginning of the 7-year tribulation. That's the beginning of the greatest move of God in human history by the present day church. He's going to set an anointing upon his present day church. I call it the bridal company. They're going to ride this horse. We're going to ride. It's a movement like no other movement. And it's going to take it all the way down into the first days of the tribulation. We get to ride that horse before our departure from the earth. We have some very great days ahead. Do not get concerned with the shakings going on. God has a solution. It's not a social solution. It's not a governmental solution. It's not a political solution. It's a God-ordained solution that's going to come out of the right hand of God. God has a solution, and there's perfect wisdom. There's omniscience in the seven eyes. What is omniscience? All-knowing. God's going to share his all-knowing powers with his people. He's going to cause you to be omniscient. When you wake up, you're going to know things before you even walk out the door. You're going to know what the enemy's doing. You're going to know what God's doing. You're going to know where to be, how to be there. He's going to have you perfect positioned every time. You're going to be walking in an anointing of omniscience. That's what the seven eyes are. It's perfect counsel. It's perfect insight. It's perfect knowledge. It's perfect understanding. It's with might. You'll stand there with might. When everything's shaken, I am where God told me to be. And all of this is turning around. Because I have the seven horns of kingly authority with me too. Omnipresence, omnipotence. He's going to share his omnis with us. The omnipresence of God. He's going to bring our spirits under the influence of the seven spirits of God. He's going to make us omnipresent. He's going to give you capacities like Paul sitting in jail, but sitting there and judging the Corinthian church. He goes, I'm there with you in spirit. Beholding your order. I know everything's going on. He didn't even have a phone. No cell phone. But he was linked up to heaven. God took his spirit and sat him right down into the Corinthian church. And he judged things. And he wasn't even there. That's called omnipresence. Spirit coming under the influence of omnipresence. And then omniscience kicks in. He starts seeing the Corinthian church under the omniscience of God. He gets the full download of the whole order of the church. He's not talking to anybody. There's no cell phones. He's in a prison. Then, by omnipotence, he judges with the apostolic omnipotence. He comes under the influence of the omnipotence. That's kingly authority, and he begins judging things and setting it in order. Man, somebody's setting things in order, and he's not even here. That's some serious power. We're having a hard enough time setting in order while we are here. That's power. It's part of God's anointing. Zechariah 10,
I feel it in my spirit. We are in the season. God's going to open this book. The body of Christ, the bridal company, is going to be given a time to rule and reign. I don't know how much time it is. I personally believe it's going to be 7 years. I can't fully prove that to you. I don't know, but we're going to be given a time to rule and reign before the Antichrist has his time. The Bible's very clear that he's going to be given power over God's people. Not us, but the people, the saints that are in the earth. We are going to give time to rule and reign and to testify of him being Savior, to testify of him being the apostle, and testify of him being the king of the earth and all of its resources. The world's going to know God is alive and well. They do not respect the church right now because the church doesn't have apostolic demonstration. When apostolic demonstration arrives, they will begin to respect. They're not going to respect mere words, not the spirit of Antichrist that's controlling the media these days. No way. You're going to have demonstration to back up the words. Apostolic demonstration, not little tidbits of anointing here and there. It's going to be a little more than passing out cookies and crackers. There has to be a full weight. It's prophesied. The full weight. Say the full weight. Zechariah 10, verse 3. Verse 1, just so you know what timing, because he gives you the timing. Ask the Lord rain in the time of what? The latter rain. So whatever he's about to say is the latter rain. The same with the lampstand being the final headstone. He's going to talk about this white horse. Remember the white horse of Revelation 6, 1 had a battle bow. It's mentioned right here. Look at verse 10, verse 3. Mine anger was kindled against the shepherds. I punished the goats. Make sure you're not among that type of shepherd. Make sure you're not running around with those goats. For the Lord of hosts has visited his flock. Which one? The house of Judah. He is visiting his kingly inheritance. When you see Judah, all the kings came out of Judah. Judah is the tribe for the kingly anointing. David. They all came out of the kings. Amen? Caleb. All of them. He said, for the Lord of hosts had visited his flock, the house of Judah, and made them as his goodly horse in the battle. Say, goodly horse. He's going to take a company out of Judah. He's going to set them on his goodly war horse. The same one of Revelation chapter 6, verse 1. Now stay with me for a minute. Out of him, out of this horse, is going to come forth the corner, the final cornerstone, the nail, and the battle bow. See the battle bow? Now, you got a horse with a battle bow in the time of the latter rain. You got a horse with a battle bow in Revelation chapter 6, 1. It's the same horse. Say the same horse. We're going to ride that one. That's what the elders saw. That's what John saw. That's what they were making intercession for in chapter 5. They wanted this horse to release because he was going to bring forth the final cornerstone. This horse was going to bring forth the nail and he was going to bring forth the battle bow. But the Lord right there. I'm just going to talk to you for the next 3 minutes. HR3, 3 minutes. About the nail. Isaiah 22, and I'll close. Isaiah 22. They know, every scholar will agree, that whatever this horse was doing, whatever this company of doing, riding this goodly war horse, they know when he mentioned the nail, every one of them knew that that nail was referencing Isaiah 22. Everyone. Whatever's in there, this horse is going to establish it. This movement is going to fulfill it. This bridal company that comes out of Judah is going to fulfill that mandate. This is going to happen. And it's not going to be happening by our might. So don't worry about in your mind how all this is going to happen. Sometimes you think, I'm so far from this. We're as far as that that's flowing in heaven. As soon as that shows up, it'll do it for us. The mountains will move. God cracked the hardness of Pharaoh's heart
through Moses. He said, you're going to go and tell Pharaoh to let my people go, Moses. He said, they're not going to believe me. He goes, and I'll do signs. Take that staff and I'll do signs. And when I'm done with him, he'll let you go. Do you think that God would have delivered children of Israel with words? With Pharaoh? What broke the back of the Pharaoh were the signs. The power, the demonstration. That's going to break the back. That's what's going to break down the mountains. That's what's in the seven horns and the seven eyes. Isaiah 22 is one part I want to show you. Look at verse 15. Thus saith the Lord God of hosts, get thee unto this treasurer. Say treasurer. Shebna, which is over the house. He basically decreed that your days are over. I'm assigning somebody else your position. Notice what he's, notice position. What is he talking about here? Treasurer. Over the house. Over the entire house of God. He was the treasurer. Now he's going to call somebody else up. Verse 19. I will drive thee from thy station. From thy state shall you be pulled down. It shall come to pass in that day that I will call my servant Eliakim. The Eliakim was a type of Christ here. You'll find this out in a minute. I will clothe him with thy robe. I will string him with thy girdle, and I will commit your treasury government to him. Okay? So Shebna's government is being relinquished to Eliakim that was a type of Christ. It's given to Eliakim. He goes, your government is now given to Eliakim. This is very important because this is what this movement's going to establish. I will clothe him in thy robe, string him in thy girdle. I will commit thy government in his hand, and he shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Verse 22, and the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder. He shall open, and none shall shut. He shall shut, and no man can open. He's going to have a key that when he gets ready to open a city, the city's open. When he get ready to shut things down, I decree that filth of pornography down. It shuts it down by decree. That key opens, it closes. Closes the gates of darkness, opens the gates of heaven. There's only one at a time that key is mentioned, and that's in Revelation chapter 3, speaking of Christ having that key. Christ inherited that key. He's going to put that key in this goodly war horse. With a bridal company, we're going to be given the key of David. Because he said this horse was going to establish the nail. What is the nail? In verse 23, ready? I will fasten him as a nail in a sure place. I'm going to give him the key. I'm going to take your government. I'm going to put it on him. I'm going to give him the key of David. Then I'm going to fasten him in a very sure place. Now notice this. And he shall be for a glorious throne to his father, and I shall hang upon him. You ready? When I fasten this nail, when this goodly war horse brings forth this nail, I'm going to fasten him. And I'm going to hang the whole weight of the Father's house upon that nail. This goodly war horse is going to bring forth the whole weight of the Father's house. The whole weight of his glory. The nail, Christ, is going to give us the fullness of that authority. He's going to hang the full weight of it. Do you understand this war horse is going to carry the full weight of the Father's glory? I said full weight. All of it is coming down. It's a treasury key. He's going to testify to the marketplace. He's going to testify to the kings of this earth. He's going to testify to the first world nations. They're about to get their testimony in a language that they understand. There's a reason why all the kings of the earth came to hear Solomon's wisdom, because he was the wealthiest man on the earth. Kings don't show up and talk to people who are broke. You're not going to get the attention of a king. Do you understand that? They're not going to listen to you. The reason they showed up, when they showed up at Solomon's house, they saw the glory of God manifested. Open display of God's glory. They heard the wisdom. They saw the atmosphere. They were being converted like the Queen of Sheba. They were looking. And that was a foreshadowing, because he said, the glory of these latter days are going to be greater than that. But it's going to be done through a company of people now. And the full weight of the Father's house.
Look at this. And I shall hang upon him, verse 24, all the glory of the Father's house. And the offspring and the issue, all the sons and daughters are going to be there. See, all of them. When he hangs this nail in the last hour, he's going to fasten that nail. He's going to hang the full weight, the full financial weight, the full weight of the glory. He's going to hang it upon him. And that goodly war horse is going to bring that into the earth. He's going to establish that nail. Don't look at your circumstances right now. Don't look at what the devil's saying. Don't look at where we are. It doesn't matter. Jesus was born in a stable. None of that matters. What matters is that lampstand, those seven torches are burning right now. What matters is the seven horns and the seven eyes are coming down. What matters is a horse is going to get released. A movement. The seal is going to open. And we're going to be called up to ride that thing. And it's going to be glorious. Keep that. Look at these things. Keep that. Keep it. Don't lose sight of what's coming. Because any day the suddenly of heaven could be arrived and it can be announced from heaven above. Don't think God's going to do something of that magnitude and not announce it to the world. He's going to announce it by commission. He's going to announce it by demonstration. He's going to announce it with power. He's going to announce it with wealth transference. The Shebnas are going to get fired for a season. The people that are ruling over the money are going to get fired. It's going to change hands for a season. God's going to call the company of Joseph's. In fact, in that chapter, he said, I'm going to restore the house of what? Joseph and Judah. Both of those are financial houses. Say, Joseph and Judah. Fully restored. I don't see that right now. But it's there. I see it in the right hand of God. And it's anointing coming. Father, we're ready. Father, we're in alignment. We will not lose track of what you have said. We will not let this slip. We will hold this word to the very end, to the day it arrives. We thank you, Father, you chose us to receive this. You may be saying this to 5,000, 7,000 others out there. That's fine with me. But we have it too. We have it. We hold it. We treasure it. It is our future. It is what we look to. Abraham looked at the stars. He looked at the sand. We look at your word. It is the evidence of the thing we have not seen yet. This lampstand is all the evidence we need, Father. We will not back down. We will hold it to the day that that seal gets open. Even so, come. The Spirit and the bride say, come. The Spirit and the bride say, come, Lord. Come, our King. The King is coming, Lord. The King is coming. The King is coming. The King is coming. The King is coming. The King is coming.